Yesterday seemed like a normal Saturday, right? April 27th, no big deal. But everything in my life changed yesterday because my 28-year-old daughter, her 5-year-old son, and her 18,000-year-old dog moved into our apartment. Yeah, yeah. And for two years, I didn't feel like the Saturday night crowd got this, but for 2 years, we've been empty nesters. Is there any empty nesters in here? Yeah. You should be the most supportive of this, right? Because for empty nesters, there's two words, peace and tranquility, right? And that all changed yesterday when my daughter, unbeknownst to her and unfairly to her, her life changed dramatically this past year. And so she's had to step out of her lease and she's stepping back into our apartment. And it's going to change everything. Going to change everything for her, right? And everything for me. But, so she's had a 3-bedroom apartment. So she had to put stuff into a storage unit at the property. But I wasn't stupid. I made sure I went over to her apartment to see if there was anything that would make my apartment better before she moved her stuff into the garage. Well, sure enough, sitting right there in the living room is this gorgeous 80-inch flat screen LG TV, right? So now that beautiful 80-inch LG TV sits in my living room, and now my hope is that she'll stay through football season and we'll be able to enjoy that together because, listen, there are just some things that make it, there are just some things that fit, right? There are some things that are gonna make it better in her move, and there were some things that, listen, she just couldn't move in. It just wasn't gonna fit. There was no way some of the stuff she had was gonna fit. There was some of the stuff that was gonna make it better. I want to read a verse of scripture to you. This is at the end of our passage. You've got your Bibles. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. We're walking through this letter that Paul wrote to this church. If there's ever a church that was written in a way that you and I can understand it, it's 1 Corinthians, right? It deals with the things that are just common to me and you. I mean, just take a look. Well, I don't know whatever section you're in, but just take a look around this room. Take 3 seconds and look to your left and right and look at this room. When we get the numbers tomorrow, this room's gonna be 80%+ full, right? This room seats about 700 some people, okay? There's gonna be 600 of you in this room, right? How many of you online in here love Jesus? Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Woo, I love that, right? You take us and you put us in this room and you say a couple things to us as a church. One, get along, all right? Anybody think that's gonna be complicated, right? Yeah, and have one mission, one focus. Listen, in this room there is a ton of different age demographics, right? In this room there's different nationalities, there's different backgrounds, we're all in this together. There are some things that are gonna make this work and there are some things that are gonna make it harder. Would you agree with that, yes or no, right? Because Paul says this, at the end of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, he says this. So whether we eat or whether we drink or whatever we do, right? Say, whatever I do, do it all for the glory of God. That word glory means to make a good opinion of. So whatever I do, whether it's eating or drinking or whatever I'm doing, I should be doing it in a way that makes God sound good, gives him a good opinion in other people's minds. Anybody in here online think there's a couple things that maybe we need to get rid of in our life, right? He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all in a way that reflects positively, right? Gives a good opinion of God. And then he says this, do not cause anyone to stumble. Nobody in here, 700 of us, 600 of us, we've got to make sure that whatever we do isn't causing anybody else to stumble, whether a Jew, whether a Greek, or of the church of God. He goes on to say, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. Why? So that they may be saved. You see, you take 600 people and you say, one, get along. And then you tell them have one mission. And that mission is to make sure that whatever we do, that whatever we do, it reflects positively on God, and we're working to see many people saved. How many of you are on board with that mission? Say amen. Amen. Then we can agree. There's things that are gonna make it easier for us to accomplish this, and there's gonna be things that make it hard for us to accomplish that. We can all agree on that. So today in our text, right, today in our text, I wanna talk about two things. One that will make it hard for us to do this, and one that will make it easier for us to do this, right? Very simple, 2 points. The first thing is a negative. Everybody say this with me. Flee idolatry, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right? Paul writes these words, right? Right out of the gate in verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. What is idolatry, right? In the Old Testament, when we read idolatry, it's pretty simple, right? They took something, they built something, they set it up, and they said, this is God, and we're gonna worship it, right? Whether it was a pole for Asherah, right, or whether it was a golden calf in Exodus 32, an idol is a thing you make, they set it up, and you worship it, right? How many of you have ever been to a Chinese restaurant, and on the counter where you pay is a little statue of Buddha? Anybody? Okay, Chinese, we only eat Chinese on Saturday night, apparently, right? Nobody in here, right? But you've seen it, right? You've seen the statue, right? That's an idol, right? That thing reflects, right, a belief in a God, and they use it there, right? Idols, that's what we picture in our head. My guess is none of you have those in your rooms. None of you probably, if I would go into your house, would have a man-made thing that you've got setting up, and you're like, hey, before you come in, take off your shoes and give this statue a dollar, right? Probably not your thing, right? So what is idolatry? What actually is it? Well, it's an interesting word, right? It's only used 4 times in Scripture, the actual word for idolatry, right? It's made up of 2 Greek words. The first word from eido, right, is the Greek word to see. It literally means to put your eyes on something and see it. That's what the Greek word eido did. It's the first part of the word. The second part of the word means to hire, right, to just hire a servant or a menial servant to do a certain task. So here's what idolatry in its meaning is. It means to take your eyes and to see something and then to give the appropriate response to it. If your grass is 1 foot tall, you don't hire a chef, you hire someone to mow the yard, correct? Right? Idolatry is the idea that there is something in front of me that I can see, and then I give the appropriate response, right? I give the exact service that that thing requires. That at its heart is idolatry. Let's read some scriptures. Galatians 5. Listen, I know it's early. It's 10 o'clock. I'm screaming. We're talking about idolatry, right? Right? But you're the ones that chose to come here, so hang on, right? Right? Listen to Galatians 5. The acts of the sinful nature, that's our flesh, they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, right? Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, right? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Here's what he says, that's in you. That's in you, that's in our sinful nature, right? What's in our sinful nature is idolatry. We are prone within our flesh to see something and then to give the appropriate response to it. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4, right? He writes it this way. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, right? Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. He says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Listen, if you love Jesus online and here today, say amen. Right? He says, listen, our thing isn't anymore living for the things that we desire. We're living for the things that honor the will of God. For you've spent enough time, me and you, we spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. right? They think it's strange you don't plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. Idolatry, right? The idea that I can see something, right? And then I can give the appropriate response or service to it, right? That is an evil desire in all of us, in all of our flesh, that will bring God's judgment on us. So it's something that Paul says, flee from. In the Greek, that's a command. It's an imperative, right? He doesn't say, hey, I think it might be better if you just get away from this. No, no, no. He gives a command. Flee it. Run away from it. Stay away from it. Why? Because it's so evil. Let's just give an example, right? It's 2024, right? We're going to be equal in our thing, right? A beautiful woman or an incredibly handsome man walks by. You see them with your eyes, right? The world and your flesh says the appropriate response is to lust for this person, right? That's idolatry. Idolatry is to place your eyes on something and then to say within your flesh, this is the appropriate response, right? That's what idolatry is at its core. And it is evil. And it is within every one of us. And here's the problem with idolatry. The first command says there's only one God. No other gods before me. The second command says do not worship or serve, right, any graven images or idols. That word serve is the idea of idolatry. Here's the problem with idolatry. It at its core says there's a second God. Do you think God is okay with you and I dabbling in idolatry if at its heart it communicates to the one true God, we think there's a second God? You think God's a fan of that, yes or no? No, not in the least bit. So Paul says this in Colossians 3. He says these first three words in Colossians 3, right? Right there it is, David, put it up, right? Colossians 3. Read this with me. Put to death. Do you think this is going to be easy? No. You and I are going to have to be intentional about our efforts to get rid of this thing, because guess what? Idolatry wants to live in each of us. It always wants to come out. Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. We already read idolatry is a part of that. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Right? All of these things are a result of, hey, look, I see, and then here's the response that goes with it. If it's lust or evil desire or greed, I mean, let's talk about money, right? I see money, right? My earthly nature, which is idolatrous, says, listen, if I see money, I want more money, right? I want to keep that money. I want to have that money, which what happens is, for those of us that know Jesus, who want to do the will of God, where Jesus said it's far more blessed to give than it is to receive, that becomes an idolatrous act. Let's just hoard our money, because guess what the appropriate response to money is? If I got money, I should have more money, right? That's what we're prone to do. Well, what about generosity? What about giving? What about tithing? You see, here's the thing, church. So many of us online in here, without even knowing it, without even understanding it, we participate in idolatrous activity too often. And it gets in the way. And Paul says, you got to put it to death. You got to get rid of this. Because he says in verse 6 there, because of these things, all of which are idolatry, the wrath of God is coming. He does not take this stuff, he doesn't take this stuff lying down, right? He takes this stuff serious. Listen to this next verse. Right? Bring that next scripture up, right? Romans 1, this is how slippery a slope it is. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, right? These are people that knew God created everything and went, we're just gonna ignore that fact, right? But their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Listen to what happens. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man. This is idolatry, right? And birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, when they decided that, hey, We're going to ignore the fact that God created everything. And we're going to have an idol. Listen to what happens. God gives them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of bodies with one another, right? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And watch this. They worshiped and what? Served. That word there is the root word of idolatry. They worshiped, right? And they participated in idolatry of created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. And then the process in Romans 1 goes on to shameful lust, right? And then to a depraved mind. And by the time you're done, anything is possible for the human condition. And it all because of this. Easier to participate in idolatry than to accept the truth that God made me and I owe my life to Him. You see, the problem is, you've already said it online and here, you love Jesus, right? Well, if you love Jesus, there's only one God, which means we cannot participate in idolatry. We can't just walk around letting our eyes determine what we see and just give the appropriate response to it. Listen, I'm in a fight, right? Things are heating up. The appropriate response here is to get angry, is to curse, is to fight, right? Is to say things that would win this fight. That's idolatry. Because at its heart, idolatry is a visual, right, that gives us a channel for this is the proper response. We think those things are just simple. They're not. Biblically, they're horrendous because it puts God in second place. I don't know if you want to put God in second place, because the Bible says of God, our God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God, meaning He doesn't like it when you bring another sweetheart home and call it God, right? He doesn't find that funny. He doesn't find that adorable. He doesn't go, oh, I trust you. No, He doesn't want that. And Satan only wants you and I not to worship Him. Listen, idolatry is a problem, not just back in the day of Moses and the nation of Israel. It's a problem in 2024 for the church. Jesus said this in Matthew 4. He said this in verse 10. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, right? Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. There's no room for idolatry in our lives, church. But Paul antes up idolatry in our passage in 1 Corinthians 10. Listen to what he writes in verse 19. Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? His answer, no, it's not. Listen, I can go to a Chinese restaurant all day with a picture of Buddha, a statue of that bald, fat belly, right? I can do that all day, and guess what? I'm never gonna be tempted to give it homage or to serve it, because it's nothing. How many gods are there, church? There's only one. That statue doesn't represent anything. There's no God behind it, because there's only one God. So I'm never tempted to bow before Buddha when I pay my bill at the Chinese restaurant, right? Not a problem. But listen to what Paul says. No, those things aren't anything. But the sacrifices of pagans to these idols are offered to who? Look how opportunistic the demonic force is in the world. They know that idol's nothing. They know that sacrifice to the idol is nothing. But they take advantage of the opportunity and go, we'll accept that offering on behalf of our boss, who is the devil, who has one desire, to be God. So he's there with his minions to take advantage of this. The Bible says, not to God. They're not offering it to God. They're offering it to demons. And I don't want you to participate or to be participants with demons. Why? Because you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. He says, you can't have a part in the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Listen, we don't understand how complicated this thing is. Listen, when you and I participate in idolatry, we are participants at the table of the demonic. And if you knew that up front, you'd never want to do it. And listen, I'm just going to say this to those of you online and those of you in here. Listen, if you're dabbling in anything that isn't of the Lord, listen, stop it. Stop it. If you don't understand how interested the demonic forces in the world to just drag you away, you're being ignorant of what Scripture says. There is a force in the world that is not of God, it is of the devil, and it wants to drag you away from the worship and honor of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen, and when you participate in idolatry, just the simple thing of lust, of this is my sight and this is the appropriate response, that participation in idolatry is participation in a table that you and I don't belong at. We're gonna end the service today together by observing communion. We're gonna participate in the Lord's table. Do you think God finds it fanciful that you would participate at a 10-10, right? Man, I'm doing great, 10-10, right? That you would participate at the Lord's table at 10-10, and then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, participate at the table with the demons? Do you not think that the jealousy of God will be aroused when you try to cheat on him? Of course it will. The Bible says this, to be friends with the world is to be an enemy with God. Listen, we have to do better. This isn't about being legalistic either. Don't walk in here and don't leave here online and think, oh, Church Tomoka, just like every other church, is all about rules. No, 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 this ain't about rules, right? Listen, we all know this, saved by grace. Somebody say amen, right? Grace, the grace of God is greater than all my sin, amen, right? If it's not for grace, we're all in trouble. But let's be clear. If the goal is to do whatever we do to glorify God and to make sure we don't cause some to stumble so that we can save many, there are just things that don't fit. And one of the things that doesn't fit is idolatry. We cannot be an idolatrous people, right? 2 Corinthians 6, Paul talks about this partnership. He says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? He says, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever, right? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Then here's his call to us. Therefore, come out from them. That's the word holy, hagios. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, idolatry cannot be a part of our existence. It cannot be a part, and it can't be a part because at its core, idolatry is a participation in the demonic. And a demonic participation cannot be the way we honor God in what we do. So Paul says this in Ephesians 5. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, all of us, church, all of us that love Jesus, right? He says, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or any greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, right? Which are out of place, but rather we should be a people of thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, the immoral, the impure, and the greedy person. Such a man, such men are idolaters, have any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ, right? Listen, we've got to get rid of idolatry. Listen, I know that you love Jesus online and here, I know you do. But I also know this, that we live in a world where the Bible says everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, they are not of God. This whole world that we're in that's not our home has one desire, to get you to respond based on what you see. Give it the appropriate response. Why? Because it's idolatry. And idolatry is such an evil straight from the pit of hell that we don't understand it. We just cruise through the life. We do these things. We think they're no big deal, but they're huge. They're huge. And here's the thing, they just don't fit. But there are things that do fit, right? There are things that fit that we should focus on, right? So let's talk about the positive thing that you and I should focus on to make this work. Focus on relationships, right? How many of you believe that relationships with other people matter? Let me see your hands, all right? Listen, relationships matter. Now, it always drove me crazy when church people said the most important thing in a church is relationships. That made me feel like they were saying scripture wasn't as important as relationships. But I've come to understand that everything that we do as believers, we do connected to one another. And scripture talks about the power of relationships. Listen to what Paul says in this text in 1 Corinthians 10, right? Everything, say it with me, is what? Permissible. I always wanted that to be the youth group's thing, right? You don't find a t-shirt in the Christian bookstore with that on it. Everything is permissible, right? It should be, right? It's scripture, right? Everything is permissible. How many of you are grateful that under Jesus, you don't live under the law of sin and death anymore? Say amen, right? How many of you know that every sin, past, present, and future, forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ? Let me hear you say amen. He says, everything then is permissible, meaning that it's not going to get you in trouble. But not everything is what? Not everything's beneficial. Not everything is appropriate. Not everything is proper. He goes on to say this, everything is permissible, right? He says this in 1 Corinthians 6 as well, but not everything is what? Constructive. That Greek word is from the Greek word oikos, which means house. Right? Here's what he says. There are some things that will not help us build this thing the way we're supposed to build it. There are just some things that are not going to build us up. And that is true. You see, here's the problem, the positive thing. If we are to live our lives in such a way that doesn't cause other people to stumble, that means I have to consider you. Because listen to what he says. Everything's permissible, right? But not everything's constructive. Nobody, everybody say nobody. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of what? 600 of us. And then we're gonna have a service at 11:30. There's gonna be 300 or 400. We already had two on Saturday night. We had one Tuesday, we had one Wednesday. We probably have 1,000 plus people that will watch online this weekend. And scripture says this, for all of us, don't seek your own good, but the good of others. You want to know how we do this? You focus on the person to your right and you focus on the person to your left. And the person on your right focuses on their right and their left. Because guess what? If we're going to do this, there are some things that fit really well. And guess what God decided? He decided we all fit together pretty well. How many of you agree with that plan? Right? Listen, this is quite a group. If you could stand up here and look at all of you, you'd think to yourself, how are they supposed to get anything done, right? It's an odd dynamic of people, right? And this is our best looking service right here, right? Right, like you should come to some of the other services, right? Like, listen, God puts a bunch of us together and says, let's make this work, right? Let's make this happen. And here's how he says it happens. Get rid of idolatry. Run away from it. Don't drag it in. Don't even let there be a hint of it in your life, right? And then do this. Focus on your relationship. Focus on each other. 35 years in the ministry, I can tell you this about marriage. If they just practice this, how many marriages would be fixed? If one simple thing happened, my focus isn't for my own good, but for your good, how many marriages would be fixed? How many families would change, right? Listen, it's not that complicated, but man, it's gonna take a lot of work because all of us are different. All of us are different, right? Every one of us have different opinions, but we're gonna have to focus on that if we want that to work. Listen to what scripture says in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Paul writing again to this church about their behavior with one another in 1 Corinthians 8:1 says this, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know, right? We know that we all possess knowledge. Listen to what he says. Knowledge will puff up, that means puff us up. Love will build up, meaning others up, right? Here's the thing about knowledge, man. It makes me feel good about what I know. But love makes you feel good about who you are. And scripture, listen, within the church, listen, there are the last statistic said, let me ask you a question. How many McDonald's do you think there are in the United States of America? It feels like there's a McDonald's. Well, listen, I can tell you this as a McDonald's drinker, right? There's not enough of them, okay? But just take a guess at how many McDonald's are. Listen, I can tell you right now, the last statistic said there were 16, there were 16,000 McDonald's in the United States. That seems crazy, right? The last statistic said there were 350,000 churches. Think about that for a second. You think there's a McDonald's in every corner. There's less than 20,000 McDonald's in the United States and over 350,000 churches. Why? Because we have no idea how to get along. No idea. Listen, Scripture commands us to focus on each other. Everything is permissible, but not all of it's going to be beneficial. Everything is permissible, not all of it's going to build anything. Not to look for our own interest, but the interest of others. Man, it's going to take some effort. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore, encourage one another and what? Build each other up. Just as fact, you are doing. Listen, this cannot be a place online and here where we tear each other down. This can't be a place where we don't care about what each other thinks, right? Now listen, that doesn't mean we're putting out a box so that you can give your opinion about everything we do, right? We're not talking about that, right? We're talking about the common courtesy of love toward one another within the body. Because remember, Scripture says, whatever we do, whether it's in word or deed, no matter what we eat, no matter what we drink, whatever we do it in a way that glorifies God, and we don't cause each other to stumble. That means we have to think of each other. I don't know about you, but if the church of God acted like the church of God, the community that the church of God existed in would need 27 more of them. It would only take one church. It would only take one church doing that. Listen, I love Tomoka Christian Church, and I believe in the local church. I believe God has instituted the local church to be the hope of the world, to be the vessel by which God delivers the message of Jesus to the world. I'm embarrassed there's 350,000 churches in the United States of America, but I'm only concerned about one, this one. I want us to become a church that understands there are things that don't belong. You got to get rid of idolatry. You got to wipe it out. You got to understand that seeing isn't believing, right? That seeing doesn't fit our mantra. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because sight leads to idolatry. Faith leads to worship and serving God, right? We have to get rid of it, and we have to learn how to focus on each other. We have to learn how to focus on the relationships that matter, because everything is permissible, but not everything's going to fit. Everything is permissible. Not everything's gonna build this thing up, right? Don't just work to focus on your own good, but on the good of others. Paul says this in Ephesians 4. He writes these words, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. How much destruction is done by the way we speak? Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Right? Listen, we got some work to do in how we focus on relationships within the church. But at its core, that's what this is. People from all different walks of life coming together for one thing. Verse 31 of chapter 10. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. Why? Right? So we don't cause anyone to stumble. No Jews, no Greeks. No one from the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Amen, church.